Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so excited that you have joined us today. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio, and we're so glad that you're joining us.
Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me in the first hours is Pat and Chris.
What's up?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Very good, very good. How are you, Chris?
Doing good, brother. How you doing?
Fantastic. Well, it's Monday. I do want to give a shout out to all of our VFN Radio listeners, and thank you for joining with us. Eddie Ed is very, very excited, Pat, and I think he's going to be giving you a shout out pretty soon.
Is that right?
Something about barbecuing, something about down with some ribs. I did get a chance to see him last night, and my goodness, he is ready to see
he's
you.
He's been talking some smack. I think he's, ready.
You called him out.
He actually called me out the other day on Facebook. that was just my reply.
Well, he's getting ready for you. He's getting ready for you. Do want to give a shout out to Tony Tone, and oh my goodness, it's just so wonderful. It's so wonderful when everyone just gets together and really just goes after God. I do want to welcome all of our new VFN Radio listeners. Jerry and Audrey and Kathy and Jackie and Elsie. Oh my goodness, every single day joining us here on VFN Radio. My goodness. Well, guys, how was the weekend, Pat? What you got going on, man?
Busy. Very busy.
It's always so busy around here, man.
Busy
non-stop,
and more busy.
Non-stop.
And the dog was Samson. Samson is the new name now. Samson.
Mm-hmm.
Was he behaving?
He is. He may not live long.
Oh, gracious.
He is getting a personality now. Yeah. And,
is he?
Yeah. Interesting. That's all I can say.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. So we're going to leave that there.
We'll just leave it right there.
We're going to leave that there, Chris. Please cover your ears. I didn't want you to hear about the little pug there. Because,
right.
It's amazing how the pug went from cuteness to now. Now we got to intercede for the
You know, they come home. They think they own the joint now. They just, they just take over and don't want to listen.
He's not marking his territory, is he?
He's doing some certain things that he shouldn't be doing.
Oh, goodness gracious.
But, yeah.
My goodness. Well, did you see? I know that you have. I do want to thank Pat this morning, Chris. I do want to give him a special thanks for turning me on to a program when I do have a little time to actually watch a little bit of TV.
Right.
He turned me on to Duck Dynasty. I mean, what is going on with this program?
Oh, my God.
Isn't it crazy?
These guys are hilarious.
It is just unbelievable.
I mean, if you want to turn into, I mean, it's just some good humor. I mean, good TV. That is an excellent program.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm laughing the entire time. It's a reality TV program that actually is in its third season, I believe.
Is it really?
Yeah. And they just had like 8.6 million viewers. I mean, it's the number one show right now for reality TV. But think of past American Idol.
Oh, wow.
And, that's something, man. And give us the backdrop a little bit of this program, because I know they're in, West Monroe?
Yeah, they're in Monroe, Louisiana.
Louisiana.
Yeah, up in the backwoods. Way back.
Way back.
Yeah.
Well, didn't the father, Phil, who these guys are all interesting characters. They like to hunt, I guess, any kind of animal.
Anything. squirrel, beaver, possum, gator, it don't matter.
It doesn't matter really, but in particular, ducks. Yeah. The father, Phil, I guess back in the 70s, started this duck calling business. He started making these little quack things, I guess, so you can call ducks.
Called a duck call, yeah.
A duck call, okay. Help me out here, okay? A duck call. And this thing has taken off. I mean, they've turned it into a multi-million dollar business. Yeah. I mean, it's just like...
Well, actually, it was the son that actually took it to the next level. That's Willie.
Yeah.
He's the edumacated one of the bunch.
He's the edumacated.
He got a degree. And he just took it from, you know, his little mom and pop operation till, like you said, it's multi-million dollar. I mean, their warehouse.
It's huge.
It's huge.
It's huge.
Although I don't see how they get anything done in that place. If you see their crew, they're a bunch of riffraff, just lazy. They don't do anything. They don't work.
They have fun. I don't know. I don't know. But they are hilarious to watch. And they have the most interesting dress code there. I mean, I guess to be part of their family and I guess to work there.
And grooming is not one of their top priorities.
I was just going to say, you have to have a beard that's probably, I don't know, how many inches long?
Oh, down on their belly button?
They have these long, thick beards. They don't believe in shaving beards.
Or their hair.
Or cutting their hair. I love what Phil, the father, says. Somebody asked him on a program because they're on like every like late night show now. I mean, everybody wants them to come and talk to them. And Phil, the father, says, well, you know, I can't do the accent, but he says, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, but God, the only thing in God's creation that doesn't have facial hair is a woman and a child, and I'm neither. So they have this, and they're just simple folks. They don't try to pretend to be something that they're not, and they just have a really good time. But they're so funny with their humor. You've got the father there, Phil, and you got the older son, Willie, who basically is the CEO of the company. He has a long beard, a bandana, and a jacket. He dresses up with a
yeah, that's his dress up. Yeah, that's his tux.
That's the CEO look there.
Leather jacket.
Yeah. And you have Uncle Cy. Uncle Cy.
Now I understand you have like this man crush on Cy.
Oh, man. So, come on.
Explain this. Explain this to our listeners.
I don't know what you're talking about man crush here, okay? But what I will say is that I tune in just for Cy. I mean, Cy alone can have his own program. He is. Every family probably has an Uncle Cy, okay?
I don't know. I don't have any of those.
No. You can say that to do.
He is just hilarious. I mean, there's just no other way to put him. He has the most funniest sayings and the most interesting stories. And of course, he's the best at everything.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing he
can't
do.
He is just the best. And he has this ability to take this blue plastic teacup everywhere, like every episode he's drinking out of that tea. We'll get this for the premiere. These guys are so down to earth, you know, that they're not only millionaires, you'd never know. And that's what I love about the South. It's like no pretension at all, you know what I'm saying? It's like everyone's just but it's just everyday folks, and I love that. And they, it's their premiere, instead of getting this whole fancy place to have this party, they went to the local, I guess, restaurant down there with all the people that live in the area.
Yeah.
And we'll have these pictures available for you in the torch. But Cy is sitting at a table, and yes, he does have the blue cup with him at a
everywhere.
Restaurant.
Yeah, you know, he's had that cup since he was in Vietnam. They said, I watched one of the programs. He's had it since Vietnam. He says he's been to Germany and just all over the world, and he's carried this cup in his back pocket. He said, you know, the members of his team didn't even know his name, but they would refer to the man with the green cup.
Well, that is Cy. In fact, we want you to listen to a little bit of Cy's Cy-isms, as they may be known. Listen to this.
America, everybody is in too big of a rush. Lay back, take a sip of tea, mow a little grass. Yo, and then if you get tired, take you a nap. Work hard, nap hard. Play hard. That's what I always say, Jack. Work hard, nap hard.
Work hard, nap hard. Work hard, nap hard. Play, play, play hard. That's what I always say, Jack.
All night.
Take a sip of tea. Roll a little branch. When you get a break, you have to go to sleep fast.
All night.
Take a sip of tea. Roll a little branch. When you get a break, you have to go to sleep fast.
Fire them on the grill.
Oh my goodness, that is hilarious.
Oh my goodness, very, very, very funny. But you know, I don't know, you know, these guys, not only are they hilarious and they have this amazing duck calling business, they make these all by hand, by the way, which is amazing to get anything done. But you know, they are Christians, they're believers.
Yeah.
And I love how on the program they try to just share a good story and just encourage people to do good things. And at the end of every program, they close every program with praying at the dinner table.
Oh, no, I love that.
And I love that. And they pray in Jesus' name, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. But recently, there's an article came out in called The World and World Magazine. And basically, what I didn't know this, that when they first came out, the tagline for them, for the show, was called Money, Family, and Ducks. And they have these posters out. Well, they're at the store where they sell their own posters. They have the word money crossed out, and they have the word faith written instead.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, and I didn't know this, but they actually have another brother that's not on the program. There's two brothers in the program. I have another brother named Alan, and the eldest brother. I actually have three, but the eldest brother, that's right, I have three. Four total, but three on the program, one's not on the program.
Right.
You get that right.
Okay.
The eldest brother, Alan, he basically says that in the first two shows, the producers, they had a little thing going on with the producers because they bleeped out a couple times inside the program to make it appear like they, as he says, cussed. That's in the South. Cursed, up if you live up north. But they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But they added that in the program. The producers did. And
What did they add in?
A bleep. You know how they put a bleep in a program?
Okay, to make it sound like they cursed. Okay.
Yeah, and he says, nope, they didn't. And so there's always kind of this, like, you know, little underlying current of kind of the producers not being so thrilled the fact that they're sharing their faith, but they said, hey, they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. In fact, someone says here that Uncle Cy brags that he never goes anywhere without a gallon of iced tea, a blue cup, and his Bible.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's just really, really cool. Most people don't know that are fans of the program that the son Willie and the father Phil, they actually go around and they preach all over the place. And they just think it's just a kind of a funny program, and these guys just make ducks and duck calls and they hunt all day.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, these guys go out and preach the word. And if you've never heard Phil Robertson share the word, I'm going to let you hear Phil Robertson share the word for a couple of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And you got him. Now, he's in front of a crowd now with a beard down, probably, you know, to his chest.
Yeah.
Top part of his chest.
Easily.
He doesn't have the bandana over his head this time. Okay. But he's just Phil.
He's just raw.
Who he is. Just mm-hmm. raw. And this is him sharing, preaching the gospel. Listen to this.
You don't have a chance without Jesus of Galilee. Unless you know something I don't. See, we all sin. We sin, we die. Number two, we go. They used to bury 6 feet deep. Now it's 4.5 feet. Save money, you know. You say, I'm going into a hole in the ground. How are you going to escape that grave if there is no God and Jesus wasn't who he said he was? You tell me. Well, I'll take my chance without the Bible. You will? You don't have a chance without the Bible and divine intervention. Right? I got to go with him. Some cat called me up, ordered a duck call, and in the process of ordering the duck call, he used God's name in vain about 5 times. About that 5th time, GD, this and that and the other. I said, hey, let me ask you something. Why do you keep cursing the only one who could save you from death? There was silence on the phone. I said, you still there? He said, hey, Hoss, you got my duck call order coming? You got my duck call coming? I said, I got your duck call coming. And he goes, bong, he hangs up. I just asked him a simple question. Why are you cursing the only one I know of who can save you from death? So he hangs up the phone. 10 minutes goes by, the phone rings again. Hello, Duck Commander. He says, it's me again. I said, the question's still on the table. Why do you keep cursing the only one who can save you from death? Why him? He said, Mr. Robertson, I never thought about that. I said, you never thought about your physical death? I said, you got physical death coming and you're cursing the creator of the cosmos. I said, let's see, you're over in Alabama. I said, you know what you ought to do? He said, what's that? I said, you ought to load up and drive over here. It's about a 10-hour drive. You can do it. I'll tell you a story about the one you're cursing. You may change your mind about him. He said, I might do it. I said, well, you sure ought to. Bong. 1 week goes by. Knock on the door. This cat steps in. He said, you know who I am? I said, I don't believe I do. He said, I was the fellow cursing God. I said, so you did come. He said, I got to know. I told him what I'm fixed to tell y'all. You know what he did? He and his buddy both. They bawled. They cried on my living room floor. I took them down the river and I baptized them in the river like they did in the book of Acts. They went on their way rejoicing, as they say. I never saw them again for 17 years. I spoke in a church over at Alabama, and some guy comes up and says, Robertson, you remember the fellow who was cursing God on the telephone? I said, I remember him. I said, I forgot him, but now that you bring him up, I remember him. He said, he's down there waiting on you. He's one of the leaders of this church now.
Wow, isn't that awesome?
Wow.
That is just so, so cool. I mean, if you've never heard, this is Phil getting really serious here, but yeah. He is just he's a hoot on this program. I mean, he is hilarious. But what I love about this show is that it's clean programming. You can sit down with your kids and watch it. Yeah. And Phil acts, he's a grandpa, and he has his kids, his grandchildren come on out. He's a grandfather, and mm-hmm. and it just you can hear him give a lot of fatherly advice and some of that wisdom just from age and experience, you know, and from the word that can really help a lot in this generation. And I don't know if you saw that episode where he's talking to his grandchildren and he wanted them to clean up a field or something, and somebody was texting on the phone. He picked up the phone and threw it all the way across the field. He goes, I don't do cell phones.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
He just picked it up and threw it right across the field.
He doesn't even own one.
He doesn't own one, doesn't want one. And he's always talking about, you know, technology and you know, hard work and what we need to do with young people this day. But it's so cool just to hear him preach the word. And there's more to him than just funny programming, duck calling. He loves the Lord. He loves the Lord, and he has no problem sharing the gospel. But if you want to see a good program, you want to see Duck Dynasty. We'll be right back. You know, what's so amazing about abiding is not that you're just able to hear the voice of the Lord for yourself, but that you're also able to help others hear God's voice. You know, Jesus said that we should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And it just reminds me of, you know, Maria. Oh, my goodness.
She hears
from God. You know, she learns to abide, and she hears his voice. And guess what? She follows what God says. And it's so amazing to see that not just for yourself, that how you can hear God's voice, but how you can begin to teach others to hear the voice of the Lord and how they can spend time with God and how they can abide and how they can journal down exactly what God is saying to them, about them, and for them.
And she's so beautiful. You know, you can just see her transformation prior to hearing God's voice, you know, years ago. And as she began to hear the Lord's voice, and that's openly today,
Yeah.
And now, you know, Patterson in New Jersey's being blessed. The Bronx, you know, in New York's being blessed. And so many people are being blessed because mm-hmm. she hears God's voice.
That's right. Let me tell you, if you're looking for a simple plan, we have a simple plan for you. It's free. Just go to iabide.org. Request your simple plan today at iabide.org.
I want to encourage you. You know, if you feel like you had a call on your life, you feel like you just want to get closer to God, you're ready to get a better perspective, a deeper perspective, you just want to walk with God. You know, you want to be close to Him. You want to love God and love others and lead others to the same. You know, it's so important to learn the ways of God. It's so important to not just, you know, give your heart to God, which is ultimately important, but then you have to learn His ways. He says, those who follow my teachings are really my disciple. The dangerous thing about not learning His ways will end up following some ways that are not His ways, and eventually we could be led astray. Don't be led astray. You can register today for VFNU.org. It's Vine Fellowship Network University. If you feel like you're called into leadership, you feel like you want to go deeper in God. And also join us at the VFN family, you know, VFNfamily.org. Find out if that's for you. Find out if you're called to connect with and relate with believers who are abiding with God and just desire to follow God in that. But it's a VFNU for VFN University, VFNU.org.
You know, John, I have been so encouraged listening to you and sharing your stories about Elijah and Isaiah and Maya and how you got to spend time with them at one of their baseball games, how encouraged they were with the fact that you were just simply there. Your presence, just being with them, encouraged them. Tell me about that.
Well, that's cool, man. I can understand what you're saying because yeah. I feel that way when I know that God is near me.
Yeah.
You know, when I have a relationship with Him and I know that He's present, He's not far away.
Mm-hmm.
He's not too far that is, you know, He can't reach out to me, not too far that His eyes are not always on me. And maybe you are listening today and you wish that you had a father to be in your life, or you wish that somebody was there to watch you. I want to tell you that you're not alone. Many of us have experienced the same things in our lives. And we wanted to know more about God ourselves.
Yeah.
But it was a journey. We were all on a journey. Isn't that right, Steve?
Absolutely.
And that journey brought us to a point where, you know what? I want to meet the Father.
That's right.
I want to meet Father God. And so some of us have shared our stories. You know, a lot of it's not pretty, but what is? But what it truly is, it's real.
Mm.
And if you're looking for a story, a real life story that would help encourage you, I want to ask you to find out more at meetmyfather.org, where real people have gone through real things to find the real Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet Him.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining with me today is Pat and Chris. my goodness, don't. And if I see some duck calling instruments in you guys' hands, and I'm taking this a little too far, okay? No duck down. I don't want. And if I see a beard, it's really over, okay?
No chance of that.
No, I have no chances of that for you. Uh-uh. Oh my goodness. Well, guys, just today, I know we've been talking about Fourth Amendment rights. And if you missed last week's program, you really want to make sure to catch the highlights. We're talking about the Constitution and the rights that are afforded to every American citizen. But today, a major lawsuit they're challenging right now what the NYPD's use of warrantless stops, what they're calling in high crime neighborhoods. It's going to a federal court. And basically what they're saying about this is that it's known as stop and frisk. And they're saying that it's unconstitutional and it's an invasion of privacy. It's a class action lawsuit. And one of the guest people in the lawsuit, this is what happened, you know, this is their direct words, but this is what he says about what happened to him. He said, they threw me up against the wall. They took everything out of my pockets. They threw it on the floor. They dumped my bag on the floor, my books and everything. It says David Arlicht. And he said, I had the guns to the back of my head. I didn't want to look up or move because there were so many guns drawn and it was scary. And so what's happening is that it's according to NPR, there is a law right now that's saying that people can be stopped and frisked in high crime areas without any kind of warrant, without any
probable cause.
There's probable cause, but you know, it's one thing to stop someone, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, police are doing the best job that they can. They're just following the laws that are available, you know, that are given to them. And it's, you know, one thing to ask somebody, hey, what are you doing? What's going on? But to start searching their person, you know, what, you have a Fourth Amendment right. No one can just come up to you and start saying, just pull out your stuff and just, you know, you're walking on the side of the street. And a lot of these people are saying that they were stopped and yet nothing happened. They were innocent of what was going on. In fact, the New York Civil Liberties Union, they reported that the NYPD right now was set to make its 5 millionth. Never heard that word.
What?
5 millionth.
Is that
5
a word?
Millionth. Yeah.
Okay.
Stop and frisk. They're 5 million stop and frisk. And only about 4.4 million of those encounters did not result in arrests. So, like, you know, a million or so only, you know, resulted in arrests, but 4 million of them did not result in any arrest at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, this is not good. One of the fellows at the Manhattan Institute, someone by the name of Heather McDonald, you know, she says that getting stopped can be humiliating, infuriating, scary, but it's a lesser evil than the crime rates that have saddled New York in the early 90s. It's a lesser evil.
Mm-hmm.
And that's huge.
Yeah.
That's huge. And, you know, probable cause is constitutional. We're not saying that, you know, that there wasn't any probable cause, but people are being stopped.
Yeah.
They're being stopped. They're being frisked. They're being searched. And it's actually going to court. It's actually going to court today. And this is what the Fourth Amendment says, because this is really important. This is what the Fourth Amendment says. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by the oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. You know, and as we're learning, you know, I'm still learning about the Constitution and what are those rights that are afforded to me and to us as citizens. It's important to know. Most people have no idea what their constitutional rights, of course, until afterwards they're violated and they realize, oh, I didn't know that. I had no idea that they weren't allowed or they couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to be informed and we need to be, you know, aware of them, and we need to be educated on these things. Because before you know it, if we don't watch for the rights that we do have, if we're not aware of them, then we're going to actually lose them. And that's a horrible way to lose some rights. It really is a horrible way to lose some rights.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just good.
Right, right.
It's just good. And the thing about stop and frisk is that it has nothing to do with probable cause. It has nothing to do. They're just stopping people.
Right.
And they're frisking. I mean, can you imagine if it's your son and your daughter, just because you live in a high crime area, that now there's a law that says that you can be stopped and searched. You're looking at 4 million people. 4 million people that their rights were violated. That's an important thing.
Right. Exactly.
That's a very, very important thing. And that's why they're taking them to court, because rights are being violated. You have to have a probable cause. You have to have a reason to be able to stop somebody.
Exactly.
You have to have a reason. You can't just stop people arbitrarily because they look suspicious. I mean, that's not good. Mm-hmm. You know what? And to me, that's putting way too much of a burden on somebody. You know, saying a police officer who's just trying to do their job to determine what is suspicious, and it's like, you know, come on now. There is a fine line, and we just have to be really careful. You know, there is profiling that happens, and it's just not good. Listen, if the rights of every person are important, no matter who they are, no matter what their socioeconomic background is, and even what Heather's statement here, and she's again a lady that works as a fellow at the Manhattan Institute. I mean, this is her statement. There's many people that feel that this is the right thing, but this is what she says. Getting stopped can be humiliating and infuriating and scary. So she admits it.
Can imagine.
Right?
Yeah.
But it is a lesser evil than the crime rates that the city was saddled with in the early 90s. So, like, are you kidding? We're going to violate someone's rights. We're going to
give up their rights just because.
It's crazy. And, you know, why are we talking about it? For two reasons. One is because we want to, you know, stand for constitutional rights. We want to inform, right? Mm-hmm. And the other thing is this, that when a particular city passes something that's unconstitutional, other cities that want to do the same thing, or the other areas, they're looking for a precedent, for someone who did it already.
Yeah.
They're looking for a precedent.
Agreement.
Yeah. And so, yeah, they're looking for agreement. They're looking to pass it on over. And they said, well, if New York passed it and we want to do that here, and, you know, it's working. And the thing about it is that it's actually the people that they're violating, that they want to protect. They're actually, you know, that's being used against them, because now the people are reported in this article that they actually feel adversarial, because they don't know that at any moment now they walk outside their house, you know, what's going to happen to them, or what's going to happen to their child.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not good. But I'll tell you, being informed is very, very important, because now that you know, you can do something with it, and you can inform. If you haven't got your constitution, you want to make sure that you get a pocket constitution and read it. The other thing that we're talking, especially in relation to the Fourth Amendment, or as we're continuing God's News Behind the News, is it's being reported at Reuters that there's a federal, the Federal Appeals Court, basically they say rebuffed the Obama administration's drone policy. And we've been talking about this here last week and the week before about drones that, again, are being used to violate Fourth Amendment rights, because they're at least one of the things, because they're searching, they have cameras, they have all kinds flying all over, and you have a right to privacy. Every citizen has a right to privacy, but this is what is being reported, that they had a ruling on Friday that the CIA stretched its considerable secrecy powers too far. They continue to say the stinging decision may be the biggest news on the war on terror, and of course they're saying that many news outlets are not even talking about it. And what they did is it lays down a key marker for a significant shift in counterterrorism policy. Back in 2010, there were 10 times as many drone deaths as there were in 2004. And this is a really important thing because they're saying, listen, you can't just go and just spy and just shoot out people. And the president should not have this absolute authority like this. The Congress needs to pass some sort of law here that gives a check and a balance to this. Now, the Washington Court of Appeals is second only to the Supreme Court in prestige and authority over how the federal government operates. And so this is really going to be very important about, you know, how this unveils and what's going to be happening here in the future, because this is a very serious policy. Who would have thought that we would be facing this type of violation of a plane, an unmanned plane, planes that are killing Americans that are terrorists outside of the country now. They've killed a whole bunch of people that were outside of our country, but without any judicial process. Just randomly because they were a threat. And now, you know, you had Rand Paul, the senator from Kentucky, he had a 13-hour filibuster to prove a point, to find out, listen, we want to hear a definitive no, that this is not going to be used. You know, these drones are not going to be used on Americans. And it took, I mean, the attorney general forever. There was this long, long conversation. I mean, long. And this is like, how long does it take for you to say no? And what they wanted to use was the word of imminent threat. And so let me tell you something, you know, talking about doing something and actually being in the act of doing a terrorist act are two different things. If someone's in the middle of actually committing a terrorist act, then you want to take that person down.
Sure.
Right? You're actually seeing them do harm. But if someone's, if they're talking about it, there's, you know, they have a right to be, you know, a judicial process to go before the court and to be charged with a crime if that's where they're being done, not to be shot at.
Not executed.
Right. Just because one person has the authority to do that. This is so, so important. But again, if we're not informed and we're not educated and we're not listening and we don't know what our constitutional rights are, then we'll wink at everything that's happening. And before you know it, there's going to be a complete erosion. Erosion starts a little step at a time, a little step at a time, a little step at a time. Before you know it, it's absolutely gone. But I'm encouraged by both of these lawsuits, and I'm encouraged by how these judges are looking at the Constitution, what they swore an oath to defend and to protect. And we thank God for that. We thank God for that, because think about what this country would be without the Constitution. I mean, just look around at some of these other nations around That's the right. world. Around the world. Yeah, it may be cumbersome. Yes, you know, we may have to get search warrants. Yes, that means that some people are going to commit more crimes. Yes, you know, that means that some people are going to get away with doing things that were absolutely wrong and illegal. Yes, that's what that means. However, it also means that the rights of the citizens are absolutely protected. And that's what matters. That's what's important, because we don't want to come into a time in our country which, you know, look at the seasons. Look what is happening. You're talking about a nanny state. I mean, when the mayor wants to say that you can't drink a Coca-Cola of your purchase that you spend with your dollars.
As much as you want.
Drink as much as you want. Soda. Meanwhile, 80% of the children that are graduating from New York City public schools can't read.
Can't read.
Can't read. Can't read. I mean, we need to major on the majors, right? And not major on the minors, and not major on trying to suppress the people and take away their rights.
Exactly.
We'll be right back.
I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body, because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to. And not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supplies. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today. And God's bringing people to himself. And you know, basically people that have been inside something are heading out. And people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is you need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function and realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other.
That's right.
No matter, I mean, there's so many people, I mean, in history, there's, you know, God will give you a gift to be able to prophesy for others, but he won't let you hear for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's God will give somebody a gift of healing, although the healing follows all believers. And they can lay hands on other people and they're healed, but they themselves aren't healed. Because, and we talked about that, the power of God. You can go back and watch that on VFN TV, maybe. I don't know if it's available. But understand that we need each other. And besides, that's how you're going to stay encouraged. You'll stay encouraged when you are around fellow believers who are like-minded, who love Jesus too,
mm-hmm.
who are talking about what God shared with them, and it's relating to what God shared with you. And as you guys share, it's just encouraging. And life has its ups and life has its downs, its ebb and its flow. And you can't just run to a body and demand something from it when you never were functioning in that body in the first place. Mm-hmm. And so many people do that. It's so funny that, you know, people just show up and they say, you know, we were checking around churches that we thought we want to be married at or we wanted to get counseling at. And it's like, who are you?
Exactly.
Oh, don't worry. We'll pay you some money for it. It's like, what? Where did that come from? What happened? What happened with all that? How did the church end up into being something of that nature? Or, you know, all of a sudden this tragedy hits and these strange people show up knocking on a door they never even went through, you know, asking for help and not telling you. They're telling you what their problem is with an individual and their family or their marriage or something, but they've not telling you about themselves how it got to this point.
Right.
And you have to get together today and begin to relate today, serve each other today, let people know your heart today, prove yourself today. And everybody needs to prove their love towards each other in the body of Christ. Because when that day comes, the first thing the devil's going to do is he's going to put doubt in that relationship. He's right. going to put doubt, and he's going to begin to try to divide you from the very thing that you need. And if you've already built that fabric, you've already interwoven yourself together by the Holy Spirit, and you've carried each other's burdens and fulfilled the law of Christ. You loved each other. You ate together. You blessed each other. You blessed each other's children, and you love each other's children, even on their journeys. And so, when stuff happens, and it does, then you know you have a place that you can go to where everybody knows your name, and it won't be just somebody who's just being nice to you because they're just trying to figure out what meanest thou this because you've knocked on their door. It's everybody's going to wrap around you. That entire body is going to have compassion over your situation,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to relate to you. And you're not supposed to be at every place, but there's a place that you're called to be. There's a place that you're called to be. And this is what the Word of God says. He says, go to the place that I tell you to go, and there you fully function at that place. And just stand by there for the next orders that he's going to give you. But the whole time you're there, you don't hold nothing back. You're just fully there, fully present, fully functional, you know, fully submitted, fully covered. If anybody needs anything there, I mean, you're like the first person that jumps up and says, how can I help you? The pastor at that particular, of that gathering or that church, you know, you're their best friend because you're the one that's going to jump up and you're going to say, this is where God's called me. So I'm here to help you out, whatever you need. And at times, yeah, they're going to minister to you, but there's times when you're going to minister to that pastor by just serving, serving, helping him or her carry that load. And I'm telling you, it just brings such joy to you. That's what we're called to do. I mean, you're missing the joy of the Lord when you're missing the body of Christ. You're missing that wonderful thing of just kicking back with a sister in the Lord, kicking back with a brother in the Lord, loving on children, just spending that time together, you know, once a week maybe, where you just kick back and then you see each other through the week, and it's a 24/7 thing, but there's an epicenter moment to everybody's week where we have those larger gatherings where we come together, and just celebrate God and worship Him and learn the teachings, and dedicating ourselves to the apostolic teachings. And and I just want to encourage you, you know, I want to encourage you that you need to get connected to a church family. You know, begin to look around in your city, begin to pray, you know, and who that would be, and let God lead you.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. My goodness, you know, we're talking about Fourth Amendment rights. If you missed, and just joined us and you missed our last segment, you want to make sure to catch all the highlights on the torch by going to VFNTV.com. Well, you know, guys, of all the things that Jesus could pray for, the disciples could ask Jesus to help them with, they asked Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." I mean, of all the things they could have asked the Lord, they said, "Teach us to pray." And the Bible tells us that oftentimes, you know, Jesus was early seeking God and by himself. And they had to be looking at Jesus's prayer life. They had to be looking at, you know, what the Lord was doing and with his time. I mean, they saw the signs and the wonders. They saw the miracles. They saw the multitudes. They saw Jesus teaching with power and authority. But they also saw how Jesus would be by himself in the morning in prayer. So much so, they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Matthew 18:18 says, "Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." You know, Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, but he also gave them and gives us today authority, the authority we have as a believer, as a son and daughter of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is our Savior. We have the ability to pray, and we have the authority in Jesus' name. And in Luke 10:19, he says, "I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you." And so I think oftentimes we can forget that God has given us authority. Authority to pray, authority to transact kingdom business. And you look at what was happening in Acts. I mean, this is like the first moments of the church being recorded. And it's so beautiful to see what they did with what the Lord gave them. I mean, God, you know, Jesus poured into them for 3 years. And now they were walking out everything that he had taught them. And they were obeying his word. But we find that in Acts 12, verse 1, it says, "It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them." Now think about that. Here is this wicked Herod.
Yeah.
He is arresting the church. And with all the intention now of persecuting and doing them harm. Now, get this. In the second verse, he says, he had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. So already, I mean, these are not empty threats, but we already know that he had James already put to death. This was a really serious thing that was going on.
Yeah.
And this is not good. And so he also saw that it pleased the Jews, so he proceeded to seize Peter also. Now, think about this. I mean, here's a church being persecuted. Things are happening. And sometimes, you know, people wonder how come bad things happen. It's like, listen, in life you're going to have good stuff. There's going to be some bad stuff. And don't forget that the enemy is loose on the earth today. His plan is to steal, kill, and to destroy. And so God wants us. God has equipped us. He's given us the ability to pray. He's given us the ability to touch heaven. He's given us the ability to bind on earth, to loose, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to you know, transact kingdom business. And so God allows us to do this. And you ask, you know, why did God allow this? Well, you know, God has given the earth to us for man to rule. Mm-hmm. He's given it to us to rule. You know, the Lord oftentimes will not make a decision for us. He requires that we invite him into our affairs. That we invite the Lord into what's going on. He doesn't control us, right? He will not act oftentimes in an area that he has already empowered us to do. He's already given us the authority. He's already given us the ability to pray. And he wants us to exercise that authority that he has given us. He wants us to exercise it. He doesn't want us to become spiritually lazy.
All right.
Right? But he wants us to go in the place of battle, in the place of prayer, and to deal with the enemy, because the enemy, like we said earlier, wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And what we're talking about is the authority of the believer. You know, all authority was established with God. And you look in the Bible that God gave that authority over to Adam, right? God gave that authority to Adam, and Adam lost that authority. He lost the keys when he fell into sin because of Satan, him and Eve fell into sin. So God had the authority. He gave the keys over to Adam. Now, mm-hmm. Now, Adam lost the keys to Satan. Mm. And Jesus, who's the second Adam, had to come to restore all things, right? And to regain the keys that the enemy stole. And God gives us that authority today.
That's right.
He gives us that authority today. And so we need to be vigilant in prayer. So in verse 4, Peter was arrested. He's put into prison, and he's guarded by 16 guards, and he's locked up in chains.
Wow.
And Herod intended to bring him to public trial after the Passover. So Peter's in trouble. He already knows that James was already killed by the sword.
Mm-hmm.
And here there's 16 guards, you know, guarding over Peter. But verse 5, I love this verse. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him.
That's right.
But the church. My goodness, there's nothing like the praying church. There's nothing like when believers get together and they say, I am going to pray for you. And they mean it and they do it. And God answers as a result. We're coming to the end of the first hour, but in the extra hour, we're going to be sharing more about the authority of the believer and what happened when the church prayed in the authority that God has given them.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.